Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's broadcast of Insight Radio Network. My name is Stephen. I'm here with my co-host, Liara, for another great conversation. Just a few items for food for thought before we get into the details of the show. I have several books out there. One's on karma, which is entitled Know What Tomorrow Brings. Karma is empowering knowledge when we know how to use it. We are cause in our lives, and our experiences are our effects. And those are the basic precepts of what karma is all about. So for myself, I would rather know what's coming because of what I do than be surprised by what came because of what I did. And Know What Tomorrow Brings will assist people in understanding that. And, of course, the second thing is my book on a metaphysical interpretation of the Bible. It's not religious. It has nothing to do with religion, but it's really what the Bible is all about. I operate day in and day out as a life coach. I love people, and I love assisting people in understanding life, living, and circumstances. You can find out more about me if you just simply visit my website at www, of course, .hairfield, that's H-A-I-R, F as in Frank, I-E-L-D.com. And you can find out precisely what I do. And that being said, Liara, any thoughts for yourself before we begin?
Well, it is quite a blustery day here down under, but I have something interesting to share with our listeners, because many people have the opportunity to eat eggs, and in my family we do eat eggs. And it's interesting that this week we had, actually no, it was this week, we had 6 of our 12 eggs that were double yolks, which is a very interesting phenomenon.
Well, there you go. I guess you guys are kind of getting yolked out, huh?
Well, it's interesting because every double yolk looks like infinity, doesn't it?
Actually, it does. And isn't it interesting that you had 6 different eggs? 6 numerologically is a very positive, very powerful number. To have 6 with double yolks, I mean, hey, I guess luck's on your guy's side, except for the blustery day today, huh?
Yes, I would say.
That being said, ladies and gentlemen, living in grace, what is that? You know, I thought about that a little earlier today in an attempt of having an understanding of a way to begin this show. Because, you know, when we look at humanity, gosh, the things that go on in our world today, well, they're intriguing. And when you see events like that just happened a few days ago in Orlando, Florida, amongst many other things going on around the world, it really makes one stop and think, wow, what are we doing? When you look at the word humanity, I mean, really, humanity, what does that mean? Well, humanity, to myself, means that we are human and that we celebrate life, that we are humanity. But the way we treat each other today and in today's reality, it's not necessarily humanity, because we've become and are becoming more so inhuman towards each other. And to me, it's time for us really to sit down and take a moment and reflect on life. Wow, life, life. Think about something for a moment. Life, we take life for granted. That we're going to be here, we're here today, we're going to be here tomorrow, so c'est la vie. No. You know, each day, I make a point to share with my lovely bride, Karen, that I love her. Because when I leave to go to the office in the morning, and she leaves to go teach her yoga around the area, then we are parted. And this is not intended to sound negative. It's just a very real idea. When any of us leave our homes, that could be the last moment that we see our beloved. Negative? No. It's just food for thought, because we take so much for granted in life that not only ourselves, but life itself, but the people around us, that they will always be there. And then that event happens one day, and that person is no longer with us. So my early message to everybody is, hey, if you have a partner in this life, cherish them, share with them, be with them, and be who you are with them. Those are ideas to me that are living in grace. Those are ideas that are saying that we do cherish ourselves and the very people in our lives, and that we don't take them for granted, because in the blink of an eye, everything can change. You know, grace is to honor what you or anyone's going through in any moment in time in life. When we honor what we're going through, we learn to recognize that whatever we're going through, it's there for a reason, and we all know that life happens for a reason. We may not know what that reason is, but events are happening to move you into a direction, to move you in a direction in your mind, your being, how you live, what you are about. And when we can honor that, and when we can live in that, that's living in grace. And when we can do that, that's a humanity. That's, to me, what humanity is about, is moving gracefully from that one moment into the next, moving from a known moment into an un-moment that creates the ebb and flow of life. And only those that can do it gracefully do it enjoyably. Yara, there's my opening comment. How about all that?
Well, it makes sense what you're saying, Stephen, because as you say, we really don't know what's going to happen around the corner. And what we're conditioned to do in the Western world is to create the most predictable life and the most illusory sense of permanence we can. We create houses and a sense of a career that we tell ourselves is predictable and things are always going to be the same. But ultimately, we don't know that. And I have an example to share as well, because many of our listeners are aware I'm a diver. I do open water diving. And it's interesting that recently there was an accident near where I live, and my primary instructor died in an accident. And it's really very interesting, because you really don't know what's going to happen around the corner in this particular situation. This dive instructor was out in the midst of a rescue, was in the midst of attempting to rescue someone, and the conditions changed rather abruptly. And it is wintertime here, and as you know, Stephen, we don't really know what's around the corner. And it's interesting that there were a few local people that saw what was happening. There was a young teenager on a wharf, and he didn't jump into the water because he didn't feel that was a good thing for him to do, but he got some help. And the individual who did go in was unable to save this diver, as it turned out. And it's just a message to us all to appreciate where we are, to appreciate everyone in our lives, appreciate all we're doing, and to tell our loved ones how we feel, because we don't really know what's going to happen when we drive down the road, do we, Stephen?
No, we never do, and we never will. Life happens, and there are events that take place, and we never know at any moment in time when a life is going to be shortened or lengthened. And it's not that the idea that we're presenting anything in a negative fashion, because that's not the intent. Because, you know, we do take things for granted. You're here today, so therefore you will be here tomorrow. No, that's not true. Never has been and never will be. You know, listen, out of India, there are many wonderful ideas, thoughts, and sayings that come. One of them that comes to mind in this moment is this: that we're all allocated a certain number of breaths, and when we've used the last, there simply are no more. And if you really think about that, no one knows what that number of breaths actually are. And because we've become so impervious to ourselves as individuals, and even to life itself, that we don't cherish that moment as each moment comes and goes. We get caught up in the illusion of time, time is what's important. Time is an illusion. It's a concept brought on by human to measure how long it took the sun or the earth to travel around the sun, to how many days in a year, to how many hours in a day, until we became enslaved to the illusion of the idea of time. And because of that, I think we've lost a lot of respect and honor for time, because we've become to the point to where it is taken for granted the sun will come up tomorrow. Yeah, it might. And it will for some. And for others, not necessarily. So you see, when we learn to appreciate life, when we learn to take life off of the back shelf and put it in the forefront, that's where we will find ourselves. Not only will we find ourselves there, we will find peace, we will find honor there. Because of the specialness of human nature, because of the sacredness of human nature, because of who we are, not what we have become. Living in grace is seizing the opportunity of the moment in which you find yourself. Living in grace is being grateful for who you are, not for who you want to be or for what you dreamed yourself to be, but simply for who you are. That's gratitude. That's gratefulness. That's being real. That's being authentic with yourself, because that's who you are, after all, is you. You and I, we are involved in every moment in our lives. We are directly interfaced in every one of those moments in our lives. And there's nothing we can do about it, which is why when we opened the show, was said what was said. Then when you honor what you're going through, you are going through it for a reason to which you may not know the reason, but you're going to have to go through it anyway. And you know, we don't honor ourselves when we're going through things that can be, let's just say, difficult, or things we don't necessarily understand, or things that we would prefer not to be experiencing. But I got news for you. Whether you prefer to be experiencing it or not to be experiencing it is totally irrelevant. If for no other reason, it is what you're experiencing in that moment, because that's where you are, and you're learning things about you and about life that you didn't look at ever before. So when you're going through those things, honor it, be graceful in it, by allowing yourself to be immersed fully in the experience of you, because that's the greatest gift of all, is right there, experiencing oneself as themselves, not as other people think them to be. That's not graceful. Thoughts, Liara?
Well, I love how you point out to appreciate where we are, because so often we're taught, especially when it comes to adversity, to envision what it's like when it's all over. We want discomfort to be over. We want the pain or suffering to be finished. We don't allow ourselves to really experience what we're experiencing and gain something from that, get a lesson out of it, see why we've chosen to create that experience in that moment. And that's what is often forgotten. So that's a very valuable point you make, Stephen. And the other thing is that we don't have to look at the worst thing that's happening either. We're taught to sort of judge things and look at going well, rather than see that everything that's happening is helping us. So instead of judging something as good or bad, see how it's helping you. What are you getting out of what's happening? How is that helping you, and how are you able to help others as a result? Does that make sense?
It does. Sometimes experiences can give you a headache. No, I just mean that in humor. you pointed out something a moment ago. Pain and suffering. How does pain and suffering fit into the idea of living in grace and in gratitude? We tend to believe that pain and suffering is a natural aspect of life. The truth is, no, it's not. Yes, events happen. And as Buddha himself once said, that life is an illusion. Buddha didn't say that life was not real. What he said was that life based on the mind and the perceptions of the individual in any experience can create the illusions. And it's these illusions of life that create the pain and suffering. When I say illusions, I'm not saying life is not real, because it is. It's very real. But it's how we perceive it. It's how we operate in it. That's what creates the illusions. Because you're going through something, and you'd rather not be going through it. You want to fight it. So that's creating the illusion that this thing, this event, is not in existence, when in reality it is, number one. Number two, you're fighting it, which is creating the pain and suffering within you. So you could say, in a sense, off the wall, that pain and suffering is actually an illusion that's self-created by the individual operator, you, me, or whomever. We create these things because we're going through something simply that we would rather not. Well, if there are no coincidences in life and there are no accidents in life, then that means whatever you're going through is serving a purpose. And it's a matter of understanding that purpose. Once we understand the purpose of what we're experiencing, it serves no purpose for the universe to have it continue. In other words, when you understand you and what you're going through, then whatever it is has to cease and change and evolve into a new direction. Why? Simple. You have a new understanding. We humans never, ever can I think of, and if you can, please enlighten me and let me know. We humans do not ever learn anything through the simple or easy path. We always take that difficult road. And by taking that difficult road, we again create the idea or the illusion of pain and suffering. Because that's not living in grace, and that's the first thing that pain and suffering is saying to you, that you're not living in grace with yourself. You aren't grateful for you. Gosh, what would your life be like if every day when you arose, the first thing you did was you thanked your body, you thanked yourself for all of your experiences? Wow. Now, that would be living in grace. Any thoughts on that, Liara?
Well, I love how you're pointing to this whole notion of resistance and how funny it is, really. Because whenever we are choosing to resist what's happening to ourselves, that's when we experience pain and suffering, isn't it? Because when we are grateful and when we appreciate what's happening, when we choose to see there's some lesson or blessing in whatever is unfolding, then we don't experience resistance, do we? We're in the flow, and we seem to be able to experience life in a very different way, don't we, Stephen?
There's always a lesson in every single experience. One of the greatest questions I've ever been taught to ask myself is a simple thing. What am I being shown about me in this moment? What is life teaching me about me in this moment? And to do that, you have to be able to take your eyes and your mind off of everything external to you and put it internal to you and really take a look at yourself. Because everything in life is a messenger. Everything in life is a teacher. And those teachers are teaching us about the illusions, going back to what Buddha said that I quoted a few moments ago. And that's that, hey, life is an illusion. It's not that it isn't real. Life is real. But it's how our mind interlaces and plays with the events and the circumstances in which we find ourselves. That's what creates the vast majority of illusions and delusions that we can have in life. But those are just not real. The other thing that's not real is the sense of permanence in any experience that a person is having. We tend to think and believe that whatever we're experiencing in that moment is the way that every day is going to go for us from that moment on. And that's simply not true. It really isn't. life is what it is, and we make more out of it than, I don't know, maybe necessary or unnecessary. I'm not sure which way to go with that. But, you know, life is what it is. It is just simply life. It's living. And because we don't live in grace, that now means that we actually, to a point, hold ourselves away from it. Now, let me ask you all a question. How can anybody, I mean, really, how can anybody hold themselves away from life? Have you ever figured out how to do that, Liara?
No, Stephen, and I love the way that we often ask the question, how can you prevent having experienced the fact that we choose to incarnate, that we're in these bodies on this planet right now, is the choice to have experience and the choice to allow ourselves to feel and to be part of the flow and to feel what it's like to resist the flow. And I love how you point out that it seems to be the choice of many people to experience pain and suffering, and that it is also easier, at least we tell ourselves it's easier, to be able to look back and understand why we can learn a lesson from something we did last week. But for some reason we tell ourselves that it's a lot easier to resist what's going on right now rather than see the lesson in it. And this is an invitation to step back and see that everything is indeed a lesson and that everything we're doing for our own benefit. And that's why it's so helpful to keep that sense of humor, isn't it, Stephen? Because when you find humor in everything, then it's so much more lighthearted and the resistance can fall away because you can see a bigger picture.
Indeed. You know, it's been shared by me many times with people that being in a monastery with 200-300 monks is like being in a playground with 200-300 adult children because of the way that they are. Just extreme spontaneity. And to me, that's the fullest example of living in grace, that they appreciate themselves so much and life so much that all they find is joy and happiness in anything. And, you know, we can all do that unless we allow ourselves to get caught up in ourselves and things and living. And that can happen. Even the idea of time, living in the constructs of time, everything being time sensitive, that's so far away from natural life that it's not even funny. Yes, we have a clock. Yes, it's something we developed. Yes, it's a form of measurement. But for one to live their life by it, no. It was never intended to be that way. Because that's not living in grace. That's living in a life that basically is out of control. Why? Because a person is attempting to control time, not their mind and themselves in that time that they have available. And time being the illusion that it is, it creates the confinement of the things that we experience in life, which keeps us once more from that idea of living in grace. Living in grace is not that big of a deal. Living in grace is just honoring one's own self as who you are, and stop looking at yourself as who you are not. Who one is not even important, because who one is not, well, obviously, when you look at it as this is what you're not, that's what you cannot be. Interestingly enough, that also is a choice. So a person chooses how they live, and yet, once more, we don't do that gracefully. We just don't. You know, life isn't something to take for granted. Not really. Life is something to cherish. Life is something special. When one really thinks about it, gosh, the human, wow, we can realize life. We are the living essence of being. And I mean that. Does that mean no plant, no animal is either? No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying they're the same. But also what I'm saying is we're the only living thing that has the ability to realize it, and yet we pass right over it. And life, for lot of people is meaningless because of that view. Thoughts?
Well, I love the analogy of nature and trees in particular, and we talk about the changing weather we're all experiencing right now. And when we look at trees on a blustery day, why is a tree able to continue standing? Because that tree is flexible, and it's allowing itself to blow in the breeze. It's flexible enough to deal with whatever comes to it, be it rain, be it sun, be it hail, be it snow, be it whatever Mother Nature is going to throw at it, and yet it's still standing. And it's a reminder to us all that regardless of what is unfolding in our lives, what we're creating for ourselves, that is, we are inviting ourselves to recognize that we can handle anything, and that's something that is temporarily forgotten in the minds of many people. And I love how, Stephen, you remind us that really everything is happening in the mind. We can say time travel happens between the ears when we focus on the past or the future. But we can also recognize that any perception of adversity or hardship is also in our mind. And that if we choose to look at our circumstances differently, then that sense of hardship, that sense of adversity is experienced very differently because we're projecting our external experience based on how we feel things internally, aren't we?
Absolutely. And, you know, I love your analogy of the wind and the tree. I'm going to throw a real curveball in there. Did you know, Liara, that without the wind, a tree would never be able to stand?
Yes, I love this analogy.
A lot of people don't recognize and realize that. And we can look at the wind and the analogy I'm about to give as experience. But a lot of people don't realize that without the wind, the tree would grow horizontal on the ground, just like a vine. But when that little sapling first comes up out of the ground, the wind blows and it just wiggles back and forth and giggles within itself. And as it's wiggling back and forth, it's growing. What we don't realize is the wind gives that tree that cannot move exercise. And as it moves it back and forth, it strengthens that tree. And as it strengthens the tree, it can stand horizontal. And then let's say the 500-year-old oak tree says to the wind, "Wind, I shall bend no more." And we all know what would happen. The tree is going to go down. So if we look at life and life experiences through that lens, maybe we can see things a little bit differently. Because experience is going to buffet us. It's going to move us back and forth from the day that we enter this world until the day that we leave this world. I once heard it said years ago by Lee Carroll, who channels Kryon, that we are the envy of the universe, the energetic universe, because we are physical form and we get direct impact of everything, emotionally, mentally, and physically. Those are the winds of life. Those are the things of life which are designed to create strength, not weakness within us, to give us understanding, not ununderstanding within us. So that we know things through practical and personal experience, so that our intellect, our intelligence, our wisdom moves forward at an extreme rate, so that we learn to comprehend greater and greater things. But for us to do that, why not be a little more flexible within ourselves about life and living, and why not live in grace, and why not live in gratitude? There's no reason for us not to. Because to resist life, according to the Borg on Star Trek, that's futile. It cannot be done. you ever seen those guys on Star Trek?
Oh, I find Star Trek to be a wonderful wealth of metaphors and lessons, and it's one of those things that, like any book, I guess, it's said that every book that exists offers all information that exists, and depending on what you're ready for, that's what you're going to get out of it. And I see Star Trek as being very similar. You know, you can watch it as pure fantasy, but you can get many lessons and wisdom out of it if you choose.
But, you know, what you just said can apply to anything in life and to every aspect of life, that every book
exactly.
may hold the knowledge. But you know what? If all those books are not read, then the knowledge is useless. And when you really think about it, life being what it is an open book. And life being what it is, it's an open book to lead us to understanding, to lead us to comprehend greater things, to lead us into the idea of who we all are, that we are a humanity, that we can share openly, that we can be a human, not from a specific place or state, no, from the planet. We're humans. And when we learn to live in grace, and when we learn to operate in gratitude, we operate from purely different perspectives. It's not that it's an ugly thing. Life is not an ugly thing. Life is what it is. It is our teacher. Like the saying is in India, that when the student is ready, the teacher will come. Well, the student is you and I. The teacher is life. And when the student is ready, life will educate that individual into the greater dynamics of being, to the greater graceful dynamics of self, which are the divine attributes of being. Making sense?
It does. I'm just saying that, you know, this analogy of the trees is a very interesting one to come back to, because whether we look at the tallest trees or the most sort of twisted trees, the trees that sort of experience the most in life are the ones that I guess develop the most. And you can look at that in terms of height, you can look at that in terms of root system, you can look at that in terms of the branches, you know, the visible and the invisible. And that's an invitation for each of us to be open, to put ourselves out there, to benefit, to gain from whatever is happening in our lives, to grow from it, because we can grow in infinite directions, not only those we can currently see and imagine for ourselves, but even those we don't yet see. And that's exactly why we put ourselves in unforeseen situations, because we want to invite ourselves to step more consciously outside of the familiar and to grow from that.
That's the reason, again, at the beginning of the show, the comment that was made by me was the one that just basically said, the grace is what you is honor what it is that you're going through. You are going through it for a reason to which you may or you may not know what that reason is, but the universe is going to show you, and you can pretty much count on whatever it is something that is necessary for that individual's growth, understanding, and ultimately well-being. But you know, grace, we humans, for the most part, you could literally say, don't appear to be too graceful when we can be. I'm being subtle. But you know, going back to something Liara was sharing, when you look at a tree, an oak tree, they are usually gnarly. They've just been through a wealth of experience with weather and the wind, because they're 300, 400, 500 years old. And their shape is created through what they've experienced in life and the idea of the tree. Well, here's the funny thing. That same concept holds true for the individual human. Without question, our lives shape us into what we appear to be to the outer world. Our lives, our experiences shape us. You can tell a person that's had a hard life by the expressions of their being. You can tell a person that's had a simple life through the very same mechanism. It's the life that shapes them, but it's the mind that actually does it, not the life. It's how that mind perceives their experiences in life. That's what shapes it. If you have a person that lives in resistance constantly in life and fighting life, they're going to appear to be different. Why? Frankly, they're not necessarily living in grace. Go ahead, Liara.
I love what you're talking about, because I guess there are people who invite children into their lives as their own children, or in the workplace, whatever it is, relatives, and they choose to see these children as teachers and invitations to be more childlike, and there are other people who resist what children are showing us. And so often we are taught as adults that we're supposed to set examples for children and teach them how to be more like us, when another way to look at children is to see them as inviting us to be more like them. And when it comes to resistance, children don't naturally experience resistance at all. They are spontaneous. They deal with whatever happens very easily. And it's the adults that are taught to experience resistance, taught to resist what's happening. So this is an invitation to everyone to sort of step back and view how children are experiencing their lives and see how they're functioning, and recognize that we all have an inner child. We all have that aspect of ourselves that responds very easily to whatever happens. And we all have the choice to respond with grace or to resist what's happening. And children are just a wonderful reminder of what it is to experience every moment with grace.
Just remember, resistance is futile.
I love that line.
Oh, so do I, because you know what? So many people do exactly that, and children have very little resistance. And you know, I've often said that children can teach us so much about life and the idea of living in grace. Even though children don't know the difference between grace and ungracefulness, they live gracefully. Mm. Because they are living in harmony. When you look at all of the natural world, it lives gracefully because it's living in harmony. The only thing that disrupts harmony is the human. And the human can consciously be graceful, but for whatever reason, we choose not to be. We choose to collide with life and living. And that, again, is something that shapes us. Shapes us in our thoughts, shapes us in our behavior, shapes us in the who we become. And we don't have to do it that way. We can look at it as the tree. It's just the wind blowing. Things are happening. Sometimes, as we all know, Mother Nature can be turbulent. And we know at other times she can be very peaceful and calm. Which basically means that life operates the same way. And we have this gift between our ears. It's called the ability to think. In the Dead Sea Scrolls, it says that every living thing operates under the one idea, or the one law, of unity, of oneness. The human has the ability to have independent thinking. And because of independent thinking, we've created the illusion of separation, the illusion of turmoil, the illusion of conflict, the illusion of resistance, which is why once more it's said by me, resistance is futile. Because life is, and life happens. You can get in the way of it. Go ahead. Getting in the way of life would be like getting in front of a steamroller that has nobody on it, that's rolling downhill and thinking you're going to stop it. Not going to happen. Because that steamroller is bigger than you, like life. Life is bigger than all of us. It's not your life. It's not my life. It's life. And we are all participants in life. We can do gracious and wonderful things towards and with each other. And we can do the opposite. When you look at the natural world, it does what supports life. You know, insects. When we look at all of life, it does work in harmony. You know, you can have an anteater that loves to eat ants. It eats ants, it eats ants, it eats ants. And then one day, the anteater passes away. And what happens? The ants eat it. That's life. It's what happens in life. But to be in resistance to it is being totally ungraceful. There's nothing graceful about resistance. Liara, thoughts?
I'm just chuckling because that's a wonderful analogy. Many of our listeners may be familiar with what it's like to have insects in their house. And this morning I can see a number of ants near the kitchen. And my son Tashi said, "Mom, we need an anteater." And we had an interesting conversation about that because it's a wonderful invitation to step outside yourself and see the source of your own resistance. And it reminds me of a story that I read about a group of monks in Thailand who had over 1 million ants take over their monastery. And, of course, as you know, Stephen, you know, the monk philosophy is thou shalt not harm. And they somehow managed to be meditating and doing what they had to do, being covered in ants. And they did have brooms, and they'd sweep the path that they'd be walking along and do their best not to harm them. But for the majority of people who encounter insects in their home, the inclination is to want to get them out. But, of course, there are all different ways to do this. You know, you can stamp them out. You can get all kinds of different products to see if you can get rid of them in different ways. Some people talk to them. Some people brush them into a dustpan and put them outside. That's what we tend to do here. And we also talk to them and we say, you know, you need to tell your friends. Go and tell your friends there's nothing for you here. Find a new home sort of thing. But, you know, there are all of these different approaches. And ultimately, you're giving yourself an invitation to see why you want to change the situation you're creating for yourself. And I just have to chuckle because of how you bring up the ants and the anteater analogy.
Hey, but you know what? In a world in which we live, ants could take over it if they wanted to. They really could.
That's right, they could.
You're not going to get rid of them, that's for darn sure.
That's right.
Not that I would hope that anybody would ever want to attempt to. But, you know, to us, everything belongs in a place. And because ants belong outside, that means we're not living in grace. Does that mean I want ants running all over through my house? No, the answer to that is no, I don't. Because the ants, to me, belong in the natural world, but don't I live in the natural world, but don't I live in the natural world unnaturally? Yes. That's what it comes down to. And its resistance is created through the unnatural aspect of the human, not the natural aspect of the human. The natural aspect of the human is grace, and it's being graceful with everything that we experience because we are the epitome of experience. It's been said by me more than once that life is blunt force trauma. We get the full impact. We get the full hit emotionally, mentally, and physically. We feel it to the deepest and greatest extent that we can. But you know, we have a choice in that. We have a choice. It's not about the experience. It's about how you choose to live in the experience that you're having. That's the key. And that's the greatest key of all. Because it's how you choose to handle your experience and you in the experience that makes all the difference in the world. Because you're still going to be you, one way or the other, as life shapes you and shifts you and guides you into what it is that you need to know. Does that make sense, my friend?
Oh, it does. And it's a wonderful reminder that even those insects that enter our lives and bug us at different stages are simply welcome invitations to wake up and see the world from a new vantage point, because everything is subtle message. So often people will say, I dream about this particular thing or that particular thing, and they'll be looking for the metaphorical symbolism of what they've imagined at night. But we can also step back from whatever we're experiencing in the daytime and see the messages these experiences are giving us. And so often we want to push them aside or get to some imaginary place we imagine in the future, and we don't allow ourselves to really experience where we are fully. And that's what everything invites us to do. It's to experience everything fully, every emotion, every feeling, every experience, because that's how we get the most out of where we are and who we are. Right, Stephen?
And that's what keeps us vertical, so to speak, is the wind,
right.
the winds of experience buffeting us to give us greater levels of strength and understanding. Yeah, that's life. Is life that simple? It can be. You know, when you're in a monastic way of life, it's not away from the world. In fact, it's the opposite. It's directly engaged and involved in the world, the natural world, the natural way of living. The monks with the ants, as Liara pointed out, they found a way to live within it and to be a participant of it without being irritated or disturbed by it, because it was life, because it is life, because that's what life is. Things are out there, not to bug us, but to debug us, is
right.
What I would term it as, to get us...
Debug the program.
To debug the program of what it is that we don't like about a situation, and that's only a virus, if you will, that's taking place inside the person doing the experiencing. Keeping in mind, don't care what you do, you can't avoid experience. Even if you take a look at the events that just recently happened in the United States, down in Orlando, Florida, where the person killed 49 people and wounded 50-some-odd others. Could any of those people have avoided it? No. That was meant to occur. Why? They were just in the place at perfect timing for that experience. Was that intended for them? They didn't know it. No. But for humanity, that's what they were teaching. How we can be a better humanity from one person to the next. Because you dislike a person's color or you dislike what they believe in, that's totally irrelevant. That's small. That's nothing. That's you being inhibited. That's you being in a state of resistance, and that's you being in a state of revolt in the first place. Revolt will always meet revolt. It will. It just has to happen. Because of the creators. We are creators. And we don't do it gracefully. Because we don't want to own what we create. We don't. We would rather deny it. Only human creates war. What other animal out there in this life creates that? I can't think of one. Can you, Liara?
No.
So only the human can perpetrate violence. Yeah, you could be watching a documentary and you see a lion attacking a gazelle and you think that's war and that's violence. No, that's natural harmony of life. That's what that is. That's not war. That's not conflict. That's life. And yet we, the human, would rather find conflict in whatever we can, because I guess we get a kick out of it. I don't know. What do you think of that one?
I have no explanation for conflict, Stephen. I just find it's I guess it's one of those make-work projects, and humans are conditioned to want to make complicated what could otherwise or what is otherwise simple. And I love how you point out that really everything is an invitation to live more gracefully, to accept what's happening and to recognize we're creating it for our own benefit. And from the moment that we take that personal responsibility, it changes things. And from the moment we recognize we are like the tree, giving ourselves the opportunity to stretch our limbs, to stretch our roots, to feel more grounded in where we are, then we're able to see things from a new vantage point. And if you imagine yourself as a tree reaching up toward the sun, then what are you doing? You're giving yourself the opportunity to see every situation in a more expansive way.
Maybe we can learn to leave everything behind.
I love it.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, gosh, life is a gift. It is. Life is something that we can be graceful in, not only with ourselves, but with each other. We can. If we were just to simply choose that. That there are individuals. The world is filled with individuals. And if everybody took a moment and looked at their fingerprints right now, you would know that there's not another fingerprint on the entire planet that matches yours. The odds are that we're going to rub people sometimes in an inappropriate manner, which we may not even be aware of the fact that we're even doing that. But you know what? That's part of life. And that's the epitome of living to the fullest extent, is being who you are in spite of everything going on around you. And we're all divine creatures. We're all divine beings, and we can be that at any given moment and at any given time, because it's who we are. It's our nature. Our natural being is that. And the winds of experience are just moving our leaves around. That's all it's doing. And because it's doing that, we're growing. Do we grow in gratitude, or do we grow in other directions? It's my hope that we're growing in gratitude, but from observation, I debate that. Thoughts?
Well, it's simply an invitation, isn't it, Stephen? That's what this program is, an invitation to step back and see your world, your life, your experience from a different perspective, from a more expanded perspective. Because from the moment you step back and you take things less personally, and even not personally at all, you can see everything from the perspective of a tree or from the perspective of a cloud looking around itself. And you can see yourself as simply elements of nature do, and you can respond to what is happening the best you can without all of the resistance and the judgment that begins and ends in the mind and invents difficulties so that you can experience that too. Right, Stephen?
Well, hey, you know, I guess it all comes down to a choice. We can all experience difficulty and we can blame everything else. That's for sure. We don't have to do it that way. No. We can live life as it is. And in fact, pain and suffering comes from us living life as it isn't, as opposed to living life as it is. Things are going to happen. Events are going to take place. They're just going to do that. That's what life is. And when we learn to move with the ebb and flow of life, we learn to recognize that events happen, that things take place, that things are going to occur, things that we would rather not have occur. But the point of fact is, they're going on, so as long as they're going on, then why not live them as gracefully as we possibly can? Grace leads to peace. Grace leads to enjoyment and harmony. It can lead in no other direction. It's not possible. And all of life is showing you who you are in every experience. Every one of your experiences is your choice in how you handle it. Life itself is going to happen, and it's going to deliver to you things, events, situations, people, circumstances, all for your own higher good, all for your own being, all for your own expansion, for you. That's what life does, and life always will do, without question, without hesitation. So, that being said, ma'am, we're down to the last 5 minutes of the show. So, closing comments, and how can people locate Lihara Covert?
Wow. Well, living in grace, what is that? Living in grace is responding the best you can every moment and recognizing that you are creating every experience that you choose to perceive for your own lessons, benefits, growth. And when you allow yourself to look at analogies in nature around you and you see how a tree is only growing because it allows itself to respond to everything that's happening and it grows from everything that's happening, and it doesn't resist anything. It simply finds something that it can benefit from, and from everything that's happening, then you can look at your own life and see that as an invitation to reframe whatever you're creating for yourself and see that everything is a blessing in disguise until you see through the disguise. And then you just laugh your way through everything, right, Stephen?
Well, hey, I would say do as best as you can with laughing your way through everything, but I would say yeah to that. You know, life is what it is, and we can make anything out of it that we so choose. We can. It's an option.
Mm.
And it's an option we can exercise at any time. If you wish that the earthquake didn't happen, that's fine, except for one thing. The earthquake happened. So what you wish for is irrelevant. And that's the way life goes. Life operates under the same dynamics. There's a natural harmonic. There is a natural flow to all of life. And we are the epitome of that. And we can indeed work with all things, because all things ultimately are aimed at our own benefit anyway. And it's up to us at how we decide to, quote, reap the benefits of life. That's up to us. You know, it's always in our hands, always. It's never in any other hands other than that. And it really comes down to all in how we decide to see and or experience ourselves in life. Ladies and gentlemen, life is a blessing. Life is a gift. And to take it for granted is, well, you know, we can tend to do that. But I can promise you, if you take it for granted, then the odds are you're missing life. The essence of life, once more, is to honor what you're going through at any time, no matter what it looks like, because if for no other reason, you're going through it. And if you're honoring what you're going through, then it's you'll learn to recognize and realize that what you're going through is simply there for a reason, to give you a deeper understanding and a deeper meaning of your own self. That's what life is. Is always the proverbial teacher, the teacher of being, the teacher of life, living and life. We can go with it, or we can go against it. I humorously share, but on a sincere level as well, with people, that years ago I threw away my oars, and because of that, I was on a journey with the flow of life, letting life take me where it chose to take me. And I wasn't fighting the stream in any way. And will do my best to live every day under those ideas, to be the best human that is possible to be. And all we can do is ask any human to be the best that they possibly can be. That being said, you can find me at Facebook, Twitter, my website at www.hairfield, HairField.com. And you can also email me if you have show suggestions, questions, or show ideas at Stephen@HairField, HairField.com. And you know what? If it's a show, you betcha. Do it, and there's no question of that. Other than that, can't think of anything to add. How about you, kiddo?
No, it's a great topic and a great invitation for us all to see everything we experience as a self-created blessing.
Life is a blessing, and when we learn to understand that, we learn to live in grace and in gratitude for what we have and what we are and who we are in life. Life is our expression. My life is my expression. Your life is your expression. Live in that expression to the fullest of your abilities and be that greatest human that we all know that we all can be. And then simply allow life to be what it is and then operate and work with it, because that's the gift That's the greatest gift of all, for no other thing can live in life and realize in life what life actually is. We humans are the only thing that can do that. Ladies and gentlemen, that being said, may all of you have a blessed and gracious week, and may your week be filled with all the dreams that your life could ever choose to have. That being said, thank you for being with us, and we'll be here next week, same time, and we'll be here with Rebecca Steiger. Thank you much. Blessings.
Much love to all.